Live. Good afternoon. Welcome to Ask the Docs, a Fertility Institute of Hawaii live stream. So this month, our topic is fertility wellness and preservation. Thanks for joining us today. We've got a lot of information to share with you guys. My name is Dr. Carmone. I'm here with Dr. Fratarelli, and Dr. Goulet should be joining us shortly as well. So Dr. Fratarelli has already said he doesn't know what fertility wellness is. So I'll just get started.
I think it's a nebulous. I mean, everyone's going to have a different diagnosis, right? Or different. Everyone's going to have a different definition. So it's whatever you want to call it.
Okay. I'm just making fun. It's whatever you want it to be. Fertility wellness. When I think of fertility wellness, I think of what can we do to really boost our own natural fertility and also think about kind of preserving our fertility in the future. So that's going to consist of a few different things. I think that's going to be trying to kind of live mindfully with fertility in mind, and also not do things to hinder fertility, and then be proactive about what we can do to then preserve fertility. So I think the easiest things to start out with would be, what are those things that potentially hinder fertility? What are those things that we shouldn't be doing to help keep ourselves healthy and help keep our fertility healthy?
Well, I think obviously, you know, just, you know, certainly your lifestyle can affect fertility. So weight can certainly is certainly a factor. So you know, trying not to be overweight, but, you know, diet, exercise, all of those things can help. Sometimes, you know, just being a little bit healthier in general for people is a good thing, not only for fertility, but, you know, if they get pregnant, certainly, you know, the healthier you are, the more benign or successful the pregnancy is going to be. So, you know, I always tell patients to, you know, if they don't have an exercise routine, get one. If you're not eating a well-balanced diet, start. I don't tell them they have to do any kind of special, you know, dieting where they need to lose, you know, X amount of pounds or anything. I'd say eat better and exercise some if you're not already. I think we all can do that. You know, the other things would be drinking, right? You don't want to be binge drinking. It doesn't hurt to have a beverage every so often, but you certainly, if you're drinking in excess, that's not good. And really almost everything in excess, you know, so even exercise in excess, you know, is not good when you're trying to get pregnant. So, you know, smoking, you shouldn't do, men or women, marijuana, you know, certainly no, you know, illegal drugs as well. All of those things can affect fertility. The reality is there's such a long list. I'm sure I'm forgetting some, but those are the most common ones. You want to add anything to those, Dr. Carmone?
I think that was a pretty comprehensive list. The couple things to add to is especially smoking. I mean, there's a lot of literature about all kinds of things. Oh, I think Dr. Goulet is joining us. Welcome. Please join me. We were just talking about my favorite topic, smoking. So
you really need to stop.
I need to quit that. So smoking, there are some studies suggesting that it can even cut IVF success rate in half. So that's one of the real no-brainers. And a lot of illicit drugs, you know, we have information that they're not good for you in general, but because they haven't been legal, you know, we don't have as much information. But with nicotine, we have a lot of information about smoking cigarettes, and we know that it really cuts success rates of IVF and cuts probably fertility and fecundity as well. And in fact, it's to the point where there are some insurers which and I don't want to give HMSA any ideas, but so hopefully they're not watching this, okay, but there are actually some insurers in other states that require patients to do urine tests for nicotine prior to getting IVF coverage. And if there's nicotine in the urine, then they won't cover IVF, and for men and women. And the reason that they do that is because it impacts the IVF success rate in such a significant fashion that the insurance companies don't want to kind of pay for a failed cycle. And, you know, although that's not the case here in Hawaii for now, it just kind of goes to show how significant smoking really is.
You know, it's funny you say that. I'll never forget an incident. I did a retrieval and I went back to my embryologist and I'm like, okay, you know, how do the eggs look? And they're like, is your patient a smoker? Like, they could tell right away looking at those eggs because they were dark, they were granular, they looked stressed. That was the words that they had. These eggs look very stressed. They look like they have been under hypoxic limitations here. It's a subfertility factor that we can plan around, that we can optimize.
And I think the one thing that maybe we forgot to mention was caffeine as well. So, you know, excess amount of caffeine doesn't mean that people can't have a cup of coffee, but, you know, if you're drinking, you know, 10 cups of coffee a day, that's not good. Again, excess, really, anything in excess is not going to be well taken, whether for health reasons or for fertility reasons. Dr. Gley, you mentioned the eggs being stressed. What about stress with, you know, fertility wellness?
Yeah, you know, stress is one of those things that's really hard for us to study because everybody reacts to stress differently. And some individuals make stress look like Dr. President Obama, right? Nothing stressed him out. But the bottom line is that we know that
Trump adrenal glands,
which make cortisol, it is very much integrated into the hypothalamic, pituitary, gonadal, adrenal axis. They all interact. They all have influences on each other. And so we do believe that stress is not good for fertility, but it's one of those catch-22s. How do you fix stress? That is the American lifestyle. You live in America. There is stress that you are always going to have to manage. But if there are ways that you can be proactive about reducing the amount of stress in your life, if you can make some modifications, take time for more exercise, take time for more sleep, maybe address some of the life circumstances that are leading to unnecessary stress, that's just good medical advice any physician would tell you, not just for your fertility. Not that it all can be fixed, not that some of it is even modifiable, but if you do have those within your means, we would encourage you to do that.
And then, you know, not just preventing things that are bad for you, but also we want you to live a healthy lifestyle induced or good things that are good for your fertility. The main one, unfortunately, is probably trying to conceive, you know, as soon as you feel ready for that, you know, preferably not in high school, but also not waiting until you are, you know, later on in life, once you're over the age of 35. And, you know, we're over the age of 35, so we're not saying that certainly anybody is old, because as long as you're younger than me, then you're definitely young. I always tell people that. But in terms of reproductive potential, I really do strongly feel that women should be kind of keeping their fertility and family building goals in mind. And that could mean either preserving fertility or attempting to conceive, you know, when they're ready, sooner rather than later. The other things to do are to really pay attention to, you know, diet and exercise. As we mentioned, there isn't a particular diet that you really have to follow. Any kind of diet that's good for your overall health and your cardiac health is also going to be good for your fertility. Yeah, you do hear in the literature quite a bit about the Mediterranean diet, and it's been well studied and linked to kind of positive associations with fertility in general. And that's kind of a good one to follow overall. The Mediterranean diet is a well-balanced diet, which consists of lean meats, lots of oily fish, leafy greens, legumes, you know, fruits and nuts. If you're going to drink alcohol, red wine with lots of those tannins and antioxidants, balsamic vinegar. So it's sort of low carb, but not no carb. And overall, just a well-balanced diet. There isn't some particular thing that you need to completely cut out. And there isn't some magical food that you need to add in and eat a lot of. The focus on nutrition literature and overall health, including fertility health, really is looking at patterns and how you sort of use diet not just as a medicine where you kind of eat one thing to treat yourself, but really as a way of life. So those are the things to kind of keep in mind. And also, you know, obviously the cause for your potential future infertility, if you're going to have any, is also going to make a difference in how you treat it and how you eat. You know, if you're somebody who is extremely, extremely thin, and you have issues with ovulation because of that, then, you know, you have more leeway in terms of gaining weight and perhaps helping restore some of that kind of brain ovarian communication. If you are a patient with polycystic ovary syndrome and maybe you have struggles with weight loss, then kind of doing some things that may help with insulin resistance, like cutting carbs a little bit more than the average patient, that may be helpful. So we can't really give kind of a total blanket statement on all patients and what to do. But I think just giving the advice of being mindful, well-balanced in the approach makes sense. Supplements, I don't know if you guys wanted to talk about that, or Dr. Frattarelli, if you had something there.
Well, yeah, I think that, you know, in general, anyone who's trying to get pregnant, it makes sense that you need to be on some kind of multivitamin or prenatal vitamin, right? That you're getting enough folate in your diet and vitamin supplements for pregnancy to decrease pregnancy complications. You know, we also recommend antioxidants. You know, CoQ10 is the one that is most studied for fertility and shows the most promise. We also recommend vitamin D. The reality is, you know, we're a culture now that is not working outdoors, you know, in the sun. You know, we're working inside, almost everybody. And so, you know, when you look at vitamin D levels, almost everybody universally is deficient. And so we recommend, you know, that everyone should be taking a vitamin D supplement as well. And vitamin D has been shown to be associated with poor fertility outcomes and success. So if you, you know, as far as having low vitamin D levels and poor outcomes or poor success. So, you know, we certainly want to make sure that everyone is has the right vitamin package if possible. But those are the kind of the ones that we would normally recommend. You'll find a lot of others that are out there and touted to improve your fertility. The reality is that, you know, they're probably not going to hurt your fertility, but they're probably not going to help it a whole lot either.
Right.
And I always recommend the same, you know, to be very simple, I recommend the same thing for men. You know, instead of a prenatal, use a multivitamin, and then CoQ10 and vitamin D. Again, it's just really just trying to be healthy. That's really what you want to do, or healthier, you know, if possible.
And I think this is probably a good place to mention, if you're pursuing fertility, share with your prescribing doctors, share with your pharmacists that you are trying to conceive, and review with them any other medications that you may be on. Is this good for conceiving on? Because we do know that there are many medications that can have negative impacts on fertility, on the growth of an embryo, can increase the risk of miscarriage, or can cause birth defects. There are a lot of very common medications for blood pressure, for cholesterol, for diabetes that aren't good to conceive on. So talk to your doctors when they're prescribing medications. Ask them, is this safe for me to be on while I'm trying to get pregnant?
Dr. Gulley, along those lines, can you comment on herbal supplements?
Yeah, you know, the thing about herbal supplements is that they just have not been rigorously tested in large double-blind randomized controlled trials. And so we don't have a lot of good data as far as, is there really any benefit to these herbal supplements? The other problem with herbal supplements is they're not regulated by the FDA. And so you kind of have to just trust that these companies are putting into their pills what they say they're putting into the pills, and that they're not contaminated by something that they're not disclosing. So you really don't know what you may be taking in some of these herbal supplements. That's not to say that all herbal supplements are bad, but we just don't have information to safely say that this is good, that this is bad, or that this will help or will not help your fertility. So I caution my patients to take with a grain of salt when they are, not literally, but like to be cautious when they're doing or using any sort of herbal supplementation.
I agree.
And also,
supplements do have a lot of active compounds, which can increase estrogen levels, among other things. And that can have a negative effect on especially early pregnancy.
Right. Well, you know, and if you're taking an herbal supplement that is increasing your estrogen level, you know, that's one way to prevent somebody from ovulating, right? And if you're taking a supplement that might increase your progesterone level, that's one way to prevent an embryo from implanting. And so those are things that if you're not having your estrogen level and your progesterone level rise and fall at the right time, pregnancy is very hard to achieve. And so those are some things that we're always really concerned about. And so certainly we would caution people against that when you're trying to get pregnant. Make sure that you know what you're taking. And understand it, because a lot of times patients will come in and they're on a progesterone oil or a progesterone cream, and if they're taking it all the time, that's not helping their fertility.
There are a lot of misconceptions about kind of hormone panels and how those need to be managed. I've certainly had many patients tell me that they're estrogen dominant or progesterone dominant, or, you know, that they have low progesterone or high estrogen or whatever. And then they're kind of placed on these concoctions to try and improve estrogen and progesterone. But what people need to understand is that it's cyclic. During the menstrual cycle, the estrogen level comes up at certain times and is very low at other times. Similarly, the progesterone level comes up at certain times and is supposed to be very low at other times. And if that balance is interrupted by taking medications kind of at the wrong time of the cycle, it can act as essentially a birth control. So it's gonna potentially prevent you from getting pregnant. And you know, it's probably not a good form of birth control. So I wouldn't want to overstate that point, but I wouldn't take it if I was trying to conceive, not without kind of a specialist overseeing it. And so that does bring me to another point here. Part of talking about fertility wellness is thinking about whether or not it makes sense to preserve your fertility. And especially for women, we know that egg quality and quantity declines since you're born, but there's a much steeper curve that happens at 35 and then again at 40. And so depending on your family building goals and the size of the family that you would like, you know, potentially freezing eggs may make sense for you. It's a simple and safe procedure, but you know, it's costly and it's not for everyone. And so it makes sense to kind of speak with a specialist about it. One good first step would be just to do some simple fertility testing to see if, you know, kind of where you're at in terms of your egg quality and quantity right now. And that would consist of a consultation with a specialist, as well as some simple tests like ultrasound and blood work to kind of determine what your egg quality and quantity look like. And then kind of following up with the specialist to discuss the results of that and seeing, does it make sense to freeze eggs, and at what point would that make sense?
I think one of the things, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but one of the things when people hear that, they are concerned about what the cost is for that. And the reality is, for the majority of insurances, it's covered. There are gonna be some insurances in some cases where it may not be covered, but for the majority of insurances, that is going to be covered, at least, you know, that even if you don't have infertility treatment, a lot of times you'll have infertility diagnostic services that are covered.
Right. And you may have heard about all kinds of painful and uncomfortable fertility tests. But if you're kind of coming in without a history of infertility, just to think about whether or not to freeze your eggs, you don't have to do many of those, which, of course, again, in our hands, they're not bad at all. Okay. But the testing for specifically kind of egg quality and quantity is really not invasive. So it, again, it would just be a vaginal ultrasound and blood work. And that gives us some pretty good information on, you know, what, where you stand now in terms of your ovarian reserve. And there, so there are various ways to do that. There's actually some at-home testing kits. Some are better than others. Most of the at-home testing, I mean, is not going to be covered by insurance. I don't think any of it would be. And many of the at-home tests are actually not accurate. So I do recommend kind of going to your local fertility specialist. If you're in Hawaii, we have the Fertility Wellness Program where we can kind of offer this to patients who don't necessarily have a history of infertility. We can offer kind of a consultation as well as this testing and a follow-up. And then, of course, it would be up to patients if they would like to choose to pursue egg freezing or not. So I think that some patients did have questions about whether any support groups available to discuss this kind of stuff, discuss infertility in general. We here in Hawaii, I'm not sure if Resolve is still kind of meeting, if the local Resolve chapter is meeting, but there are some advocacy, national advocacy groups that are very active and providing pretty good patient support. So Resolve is one of them. Do they still have local meetings? I'm not sure. But regardless, that would be one avenue.
I think that the local Resolve chapter kind of comes and goes, you know, with depending on if there's somebody who wants to lead it. It has to be led by a patient, not a provider or a physician. And so it does kind of come and go with, you know, every so often, one year it'll pop up and next year it'll go away. But there are, as you said, there are now online services, and certainly Resolve being the largest one nationally that you can go to. But also a lot of the pharmacies have online services where they were able to answer questions and help with fertility concerns for patients.
My patients, and they tell me about their fertility support groups that they're in that they got plugged into either via Facebook or by talking to their local military moms group. So we know that they exist and that they are present here in Hawaii. They may not be as formally organized as some of the other support groups, but they do exist. And so we always encourage individuals to speak out and ask for help, ask for as social support, talk to your friends, talk to your family, because it's hard to go through infertility. And we want you to have the support that you need to get to the results that we're all working for.
Yeah, I agree. One last thing I wanted to mention, which sort of belongs in the other part of this talk that we gave, is just kind of natural ways to ensure that you're doing the right thing if you are trying to conceive. So obviously there has to be an egg source, there has to be a sperm source, and there are some things that you can kind of keep in mind when you're trying to conceive. So the fertile window really is the 6 days prior to ovulation. So you want to obviously try to have intercourse around the time of ovulation, but, you know, kind of right before it would be best. Having sex every day or every other day around the time of ovulation have very, very similar success rates. So you don't have to wait too long or too short of an interval during that time. If you have sex when you're not ovulating, you know, go for it. But that's not going to help you get pregnant if the female partner is not ovulating. Other things to keep in mind, position doesn't seem to matter at all. So, you know, whatever is comfortable. Ejaculation does need to occur inside the vagina. It seems like a silly thing to say, but a lot of patients who use the withdrawal method don't necessarily realize that it can be a decent form of birth control, and certainly does prevent pregnancy in many cases. And then lastly, lubricants. You do want to avoid most of the kind of commercially available lubricants because they can be spermicidal. So you do want to avoid those. If you would like to use lubricant, there are some that are kind of have been tested and are safe for sperm. Things like Pre-Seed is one brand name, but there are other ones that are kind of sold as being safe for sperm. And then there's also just plain canola oil from the kitchen, which also is perfectly fine to use and safe for sperm. Don't just use any oil. And the other thing to keep in mind is that lubricants don't like help you conceive. Some people think that they, you know, the sperm friendly lubricants are kind of helpful for fertility. They're not, they just don't harm the sperm.
Yeah, I think that one thing to go with fertility wellness is if someone's thinking about fertility, yeah, you have to kind of be in touch with your own body, right? I mean, and then I think that certainly for women, that's a little easier, you know, if you're having regular menstrual cycles and you're having, you can tell there's excess vaginal secretions and mucus around the middle of the month. And when you're ovulating, and you may be able to feel a little bit of ovulation called middle schmerz. You know, so women can kind of have a little bit of an idea of what's happening with their body and if they're ovulating or not, and what their fertility at least status is associated with ovulation. For men, it's a little bit harder because a lot of times men think that just because they're ejaculating that their sperm is fine, and if there is a low amount of ejaculate that's a problem. There's a problem with the sperm. Or if there's a high amount of ejaculate, a high volume of ejaculate, that the sperm number and everything is great. And the reality is it's different. You know, it doesn't matter what the amount of ejaculate is. The tube that you know brings the sperm into the ejaculate is different from all the other secretions. And so that tube can be blocked, and so you might not have any sperm, even though you have a normal ejaculate, or you might have very normal semen analysis, even though your ejaculate is very minimal. And so certainly for men, having a semen analysis and being evaluated is important as well. And then for women, because women typically are in tune with their bodies, if you're not having menstrual cycles, if you know there's an issue, then that's something you need to discuss with your provider or seek assistance and talk to a fertility doctor.
Since you've mentioned male fertility, one thing I do want to bring up is men who are on testosterone, if you are thinking of having children, stop the testosterone as soon as possible, because unfortunately, testosterone does decrease male fertility and it may not be 100% reversible. And so, again, speak to whoever's prescribing this. Is this something that you really have to be on, that you need to be on? Talk to a urologist and see, what you can do to help preserve your fertility or optimize your fertility in ways that don't require taking exogenous testosterone supplementation, because that is effectively male birth control and it is not 100% reversible.
Yeah, it's very effective male birth control too.
Yeah. There are some medications that men can take that may kind of help. It may increase testosterone levels as well as increase sperm counts. So those are some things to discuss with the prescribing doctors or your fertility doc if you're seeing one already. Right. And be sure to, if you want to have your fertility tested, whether you're male or female, definitely speak with a fertility provider. If you're already having trouble conceiving, then don't hesitate. Women who are 35 and over or have any other known fertility problems really should kind of not wait too long, up to 6 months. Women who are younger can wait up to a year if there are really no known issues. But really don't hesitate to reach out with any questions. All right. Well, thank you for joining us today. This is Ask the Docs, a Fertility Institute of Hawaii live stream. For more information, please check out our website, ivfcenterhawaii.com. And if you have any additional questions, go ahead and leave us a comment, and we hope you join us again. All right. Aloha. Thank you, guys.
Aloha. Thank you, guys.